Hello, and welcome to the podcast that discusses all things gaming. Coming to you from the home of Indie PopCon, Gen Con, and the gaming capital of the world, we are the Established Facts.
Everybody, and welcome to episode 126 of the Established Facts. I am your host, Big Don, and this is our post-Gen Con episode. We're going to go around to my left and wake everybody up and introduce ourselves. Go ahead.
This is Josh.
This is Dr. Deb.
This is, Bonnie.
You're not
wow.
Bonnie.
Wow, that's weird.
This is Bonnie, and she's lovely, and I'm introducing her because I love her so much. That's
I think she should introduce her.
This is, Bonnie.
I think I like that. I usually go by Big Don Sexy Wife, but maybe, Bonnie.
That's your new.
I'm pretty sure my new name. I think I'm going to adopt it, too, actually.
Ooh, Bonnie.
All right. Ooh, Bonnie. And to my left, you know, pressing against my leg is Princess Katie.
Katie!
What just happened?
I don't know!
I think you're losing
your mind. I don't know if it's a bad thing or a good thing.
Get control of your show.
I'm trying. All right.
Answer the question, Katie. Yep, she did.
We also have...
What's my name again? Oh, right. I'm Adam from the Side Project Podcast.
That's right.
I'm Avital.
This is Lance.
Hey, guys. This is Derek.
This is Daniel.
This is Prime.
So we have a full table, as you can hear. I think we've got, if I can count, it looks like 9, 10, 10 of us?
70-11,
4,200.
11 with the little one. 11-2.
That's right. 11-7.
That's what it is.
11-7.
There is a baby on the table.
That's right.
11 plus 1.
And our, the youngest martyr baby is sucking down a bottle. Anyway, so we had... the Gen Con experience.
Sure did.
We're going to go through and kind of talk about our highs and our lows.
I actually wore pants the whole time, too.
Yeah. I wore shorts.
I didn't.
I'm not swearing. I know.
And,
yes, I did.
We had good times. We had a couple not as good times. But overall,
like you do,
yeah. It's a 4-day convention.
The
there's a lot of
with
for the days 70, of our lives.
I'm just saying, lots of many hours of different things happening. But I would have to say, and I would like to go around and just kind of get everybody's opinion very quickly, since we're not necessarily doing a versus topic. Just a quick reaction of whether you overall had a good time, had a bad time, whatever.
What do you think? Thumbs up, thumbs down versus topic for Gen Con?
Sure. Thumbs up, thumbs down versus topic for Gen Con. I'm going to go ahead and start, even though I don't normally do this. Big Don, thumbs up for Gen Con this year.
Big thumbs up from Josh.
Thumbs up all the way from Dr. Deb.
I would say big thumbs up for me, too.
Thumbs up. This was actually, I have said this to multiple people, my absolute best Gen Con ever.
Awesome. Like... there's the divisive part of me that super wants to be like, I'm gonna
you
could
be a fence sitter and just be a jerk.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, like,
yeah.
Everybody's just gonna give Gen Con all this Gen Con love, and I'm like, well, I had a great time, and I would say thumbs up. I should just say thumbs down, just to be like, screw you all.
Sure. That's totally your prerogative, bro.
No, I said thumbs up. I had a great time, and despite what all these yahoos, I'm not just being a yes man, unlike the rest of y'all, you posers.
Hey, I started, so
I'm way on
I did
right
it
now.
Before everybody else. I'm the hipster at the table.
No, I'm kidding. It was big thumbs up. I had a great time.
Yeah, definitely thumbs up for me.
Thumb 3/4 up.
Did it seriously
not,
ruin
not,
your...
No.
We'll get there later.
There's other things. Not going to fence it. I'm like the guy that tried to jump over the fence but got his pants stuck.
Oh! And smacked down on the other side.
Maybe the dwarf tried to jump over a balcony railing.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
That was pretty spectacular.
It really was.
Derek?
Thumbs up.
Daniel?
Thumbs up for me, too.
Yeah.
Prime?
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up. All right, so it looks like everybody had
there's
a thumbs-up experience.
There's nothing to argue about on the versus talk.
That, yeah. Hey.
What a surprise.
decision. I'll tell you, I'll be very honest. If this was last year, it would be a thumbs down for me.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It was.
But,
and Dan, too, probably.
But this year was definitely not the same. So, a year does make a difference. Thank you, Gen Con, for hosting your amazing event here in Indianapolis again. Next year is number 50.
50.
If you have never been to Gen Con, I can guarantee you it will be the largest thus far. Because A, it statistically continues to grow, and B, it's going to be the 50th anniversary of Gen Con, so make sure you save your dates. I don't know what they are. I think they're at
It's 17th at the 17th
to the 20th. August? Okay, 17th to the 20th of August.
It used to be in the middle, and then they started pushing it farther forward.
So sorry for you school kids who are going back to school at the beginning of August.
You can take a couple of sick days.
My kids go to school in September.
Oh, there you go.
My brother's school goes in July. Like, a lot of the schools here in Central Indiana started in July again.
Yep.
Just saying, that convenient sore throat, it can pop up every and then, even in August.
Follow the advice from Dr. Depp.
Right. Don't tell anybody you heard it here first.
However, there is, I think most schools have a clause that if your parents go to the school and report that they are going on an educational vacation, they can take time away from school, be given an assignment to complete during that time, and when they come back, they get full credit for being in school, but being at a learning experience. It's kind of like studying abroad with your parents.
Man.
I'm not. I am a gamer that finds loopholes in the rules.
Totally munchkin this.
I'm giving you an incredulous look, because if that's the backwards way y'all handle it down here in Indiana, I swear.
Well, hey, you know.
There's always Gen Con-itis.
That's right. Gen Con-itis. Anyway.
Dad, that is an actual disease, isn't it?
I'll work on getting that in the disease master list.
Yep, but you're pronouncing it as Genkinitis.
Genkinitis.
It actually sounds like
that. Are we going to put that in the DSM with the sixth version when it comes out?
Correct. That would be a psychiatric diagnosis. Yeah.
Yep.
It should be, too.
Genkinitis.
All right. So we're going to go around the table, and I want to get some exposition from people about their favorite gaming experience for Gen Con 2016 experience. So it can be the rule for this is it can be a game. You can just say my favorite game at Gen Con this year was blah, or you can say while I was playing this game, this happened, but it has to be associated with the game in some way, shape, or form. So favorite gaming experience at Gen Con. We'll go ahead and start with Joshy again and go around the table that way.
I have a strange feeling I'm going to take this from some others, but I'm going to have to give this one to the Pathfinder Society Game 2 last night, the Lost Colony of Tal'Dorei, Scenario 716, if anyone is interested in playing it. It's part of a series that I highly recommend.
Yeah.
Very well done.
Faithless and Forgotten?
Yes. This one is specifically being brought up because of a new friend of ours, Madden.
Hi, Madden.
Hey, Madden.
What's up?
She was extremely exhausted for some reason.
She only got two hours of sleep.
Oh, that's
before
right.
She ran for
that's
us.
Right. Because the day when we were playing it, the special was the night before, and she'd been running all day.
Right.
Yeah. So
and then she had to. Yeah.
And then she had to run with us.
Yeah.
But for some reason,
she
the
was
combination,
really awake by the end of that game.
Yeah.
She super was.
The combination of her
whole bag of lightsabers.
That's true.
Sure did.
The combination of her exhaustion in the 2-7 slot and the six of us all knowing each other, I think...
And our exhaustion.
And
our
tired
exhaustion.
At that point too.
I think brought a level of interest to the game, to say the least.
Say the least.
She was the type of game master a lot of us have kind of spoken up being fans of, where she was good on the rules because she had somebody else there that was good on the rules. But she allowed for us to kind of play with who we were and what we were doing. Things like allowing a dwarf to jump off a balcony, as I mentioned earlier, or create water and just make the witch wet.
He just kept moistening the witch.
It was a distraction technique, and I stand by it.
She was an exceptionally moist witch by the time we were done with her.
We built a living well in an archaeological dig site.
In the desert.
Just the appearance of a joy.
That was the best part of that game.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys did it after we pulled the stuff out of it.
Yes. So I have to say that that was just an absolute blast and reminded me why I enjoyed the Society, even though I missed out on the special this year, but for good reason, and I'll save that for later.
Just, I do want to say mad props to the other two GMs that we had, because they did a spectacular
job
as well.
Sam,
just,
and
Sam and Daniel.
Dan.
They both did a great job. Just the game with Madden was a confluence of events, because it was a great module, great group of people, great GM who was just the right amount of tired to tolerate us.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I will say, and I'm going to give the what was it, the five of us that were at the table?
Six. Well, Vanessa,
for all of
was
us.
There.
Vanessa was there too. It wasn't all of us. There wasn't all 10 of us. I'm saying at this table right now.
Oh, gotcha.
In our game.
Yeah.
So five of us were in that Pathfinder game, and we did something, in my opinion, that everyone should do. Every time we sat down with a new GM, they got Benny's.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I believe Josh and Deb bought our GM a Starbucks.
Yep. Morning, he deserved it.
Last night,
he earned it, yeah.
What was?
I know that Lance was giving up.
Lance was feeding her.
I feed every GM I get.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right. And then this morning,
another Starbucks snackerfice to the DM.
And
hey, Lance gave him.
There was a young lady who was, I think she was a GM,
volunteer.
She was a volunteer.
And Lance gave her one of his monster rehabs. So
she came back and gave us a free Benny.
It was pretty awesome. Yeah. Yeah. We got new free boon tokens. I'm not going to give any names because I'm not selling somebody out.
I have no idea what her name is.
That's right. None.
I don't know.
I got people and expect no reward. You get reward.
Exactly.
And as a result, I got to cuddled with some huge tracts of land.
So yeah, make sure you look out.
See,
for
I can
your
find
GMs.
A way to be dirty
you're
without
terrible.
Actually cursing.
That's you're right. So terrible.
You know, definitely every GM that we had had, Madden and Sam and Dan.
I'm sorry. Every time you say Madden, I think of like football.
No, we know.
This is not Madden. That's where
her last name was like
Stewart.
Stewart.
Yeah.
Last name, first name.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
But they all were running like something like 8 or 10 modules all weekend.
The minimum for tier one GMs.
Yeah.
Is between 7 and 10.
Yeah.
After on 7.
That's crazy.
But they get a free room.
I know that. I'm just saying the amount of energy that it takes to be able to do that all weekend. That's crazy. So yeah, you guys did
inside and out.
It's so well, so well. Had a great time. Playing, yeah, well, you know, it's all right.
Breathe.
But anyway, sorry, not to take away. Deb.
Hmm? Oh, that's me.
Your favorite game experience for Gen Con 2016.
Well, we've already gone bananas over Pathfinder's second one. So I'm actually not that was awesome, by the way. But I'm actually going to punt that out the window and go for the Harry Potter deck building game that we got to try out. We didn't get the game. However, Kayla got one and Danny got one. And so we did the demo for that. It was only 15 minutes, and loved it. I had an absolute blast. My sister-in-law, Carrie, because she's not here to squeal appropriately on the microphone, loved it. Danny loved it. Danny got it. A lot of fun. Easy to learn. The guy teaching us was great. He was, anyway, just a ton of fun. It was only a demo, but I do claim we did play 15 minutes and would have kept playing if the exhibit hall hadn't closed. We had just gotten Albus Dumbledore as the ally, and then we had to leave. I was going to burst into tears. But ton of fun. I think there's going to be expansions in the future because you just play with the four base characters. But, I mean, there's a ton of options that they could do for expansion, so that's going to be fun to see what they do with that. But so much fun. Josh, myself, Carrie, and Danny played that. And just even for those 15 or 20 minutes, had an absolute blast. So that goes as my favorite gaming experience moment at Gen Con.
And I know that game comes out, I believe, around October.
End of September, early October is what I've heard.
So
but yeah, it's
definitely look out for it by USAopoly.
Yep.
I know they had like 200 copies. They gave 50 away or sold 50, excuse me.
Yeah.
Sold 50 each day. Uh-huh. There was a line.
There was a lot of controversy around that too, with exhibitors stealing all the games before people who weren't exhibitors could get into the exhibit hall. Not stealing, obviously they bought them, but yeah, there were a couple days that like the
early.
First three people in line got games, and after that nobody else did because exhibitors had bought all the other games that day.
Which really the people to blame are the vendors, not really, because they're the ones who had control over.
No, I was just saying, yeah, there was controversy around that because people who waited, who got here at 6 in the morning to wait outside the doors to the exhibit hall ended up not getting the game that they waited for from 6 in the morning till.
Yeah, that's, I don't know if that's ever going to not be an issue, sadly. I mean, certain ones. I mean, and, for as long as we have exhibitors and as long as they do the, you know, 50 today or 100 today. But it was a wonderful... So the demo was definitely worth it. I'm so glad I did it, because now I really want to play that game when we actually have it. It's lots of fun.
There you go. All right, Bonnie.
Bonnie. So, I mean, those of you who know me know that I never plan my Gen Con. I always just show up, and I figure out what I want to do. And so Bryce and Danny just, like, randomly suggested to me that they had tried this game called The Refuge. Mm-hmm. And The Refuge, and I can't remember the rest of it. It's like...
A Race for Survival.
A Race for Survival. Thank you. I kept saying a quest, but it's not a quest. So it's a zombie game, and I don't really care for zombies necessarily. You know, I just think they're gross.
That's not my thing. Brains thing.
But they were like, no, I think you would like it because they know me. They know, like, the kinds of games that I like. And they said also that, you know, if you win, there was, like, a gift card. You could get a free copy of the game or something. It sounded like, okay, well, that's worth it. And it was awesome. And it wasn't just the game. It was, like, the whole experience with the developer. Because it turns out, not only did I go to an event to play on Friday, had a great time. Or no, maybe it was Saturday. But then today, Josh Martyr and I went to the playtesting room just to kill some time, and they had the expansion. Hmm. And we got to sit down with the developer, play the game again, and then play the expansion with him, talk with him about what we liked about it, what we didn't like about it, and he was saying, yeah, I think I'm going to change these mechanics based on the suggestions we made.
Yeah, because the expansion is still under development.
Yeah.
So.
Sure. I mean, obviously, that's what the playtesting room is for, which I'd never been in the playtesting room before, but I just felt like that was really cool. I mean, we ended up, Josh and Don played in a spot for it today as well later in the afternoon, so then I got to go back and chat with them again, and it just felt like the whole experience with them was awesome. They have sold out of what they brought to Gen Con. They had, like, to fly in more today, sold out of those. They have, like, 1,000 copies on their website, but then he's going to change the art, I think, before they come out with more. So I think we're going to wait and buy it when the new art, like, they're, you know, also, when they come out with a new edition of it.
They're also talking about going on to Kickstarter.
Yeah. So. Yeah, so look for them on Kickstarter, The Refuge.
And Refuge Game, Survival, refugegame.com is their website.
Yeah, refugegame.com. Oh, that's right, Katie.
Yeah, I played in their last game of the convention today. It ended up running over a little bit, and it was so much fun. I agree with Bonnie. It was just a great game.
Yeah.
And it's not like, it's not your typical zombie game.
Exactly.
It's actually incredibly simple, but in the simplicity of the game, there is so much strategy. Like, there's just, like, a lot of thinking and, like, what am I going to do with my turn? There's so many options.
Well,
like,
and the more players, it plays up to six.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the more players you have, the harder it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
But also the more fun, because my game was only three of us, plus the moderator and one of his friends played. So, I mean, it was like, they were playing, but they weren't trying to kick our butts.
Quasi-five, right.
Whereas you guys had a full table.
Yeah, we had, and actually...
of demoers.
Yes, yeah, they sold the demo game.
Oh.
They sold the demo game to one of the girls at the table because...
They were out.
They sold every last game, including the one that they were playing at
the
time.
That's very cool.
And look forward to the expansion because Josh and I were surprised how different it was from the base game.
Yeah, it's almost like a whole new game, almost.
It really is, because it basically turns it into a cooperative game that now there's chapters. There's 10 chapters that he's written.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the first chapter, we beat it when we played it. You know, we talked about kind of what mechanics we would change, but really the, he said the difficulty level he would put like a 3 out of 10 on, but then there's 10 chapters, so you can imagine where this is going. You know,
yeah,
whereas the base game is really, it's not that difficult to understand or to get through. So, anyways, I had a great time with that.
All right. Yeah, and I know the company is out of Las Vegas. They're called B&B Games, and they've got one other game. I can't. It's something like I don't remember what it's called. B&B Games. Check them out. The game is called The Refuge: The Race for Survival, or a Race for Survival. Yeah. It's not out yet, but so yeah, definitely check them out. All right, Princess Katie, what do you got for us?
I would have to say that my favorite gaming experience is Gen Con. I had a lot of great ones. Like I said, this was absolutely by far the best Gen Con I've had. But probably my favorite gaming experience was last night on Saturday, we went to go play Tyrants of the Underdark, and Mike and I were actually in our drow costumes playing Tyrants of the Underdark. It was a lot of fun, and beyond that, the game was great. So great that I'm actually going to go buy the game. But yeah, it's a deck builder and a placement game. So yeah. It's actually heavier on the deck building side, which is great because I prefer deck building games, but it was absolutely awesome. The people there were all great. We had a ton of people that were like, can we get a picture of you? You know, Gale Force 9 put us up on their Facebook page with us holding the game in our costumes.
Very cool.
Nice. It was really neat. It was a lot of fun to be able to play that game in the costume of the characters of that game. So it was a lot of fun. That was probably my favorite gaming experience for sure.
Cool. Adam, what you got for us?
Well, I don't know how much detail we can get into in this particular favorite gaming moment, but I'm going to go ahead and share it anyway. So Thursday night.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, no.
We're taking my moment.
Okay,
we can all speak to this one, though.
So
Thursday night, Derek was running.
One moment. I'm going to go ahead and preface this right now that we, the Established Facts, have absolute respect for any and all races, creed, whatever. We have always stood as an a-religious, apolitical, whatever stance.
This is our PSA.
I have to put this in here, and I am so sorry.
I'm going to throw it out there that everything that was said and done was meant all in good fun.
Yes.
It was not in any way, shape, or form meant to be malicious or divisive.
Okay, Dr. Deb is ready to leave the room.
No,
and
it's
has
not
a
bad.
Horrified expression
on
her face.
It's not that bad.
It actually wasn't.
It's really funny.
We love everybody. Please don't sue us.
That's right.
That, what he said.
That's,
so anyway, Thursday was, you know, of course, the first day of Gen Con. Derek was running his USS game officially through Gen Con.
Grooving and shaking.
And Josh had called, we've been talking via Facebook, and he's like, do you want to get in that game? Do you have anything going on Thursday? And I said, yeah, that would be fun. You know, I've played a couple of USS games here and there over the years and whatever. So he got me a ticket, and we got in. And turns out that pretty much everybody at the table was people who are at this table, except for one dude.
one dude
from Iowa named Andrew. I gotta say though, I gotta give Matt props. That kid,
from
Iowa.
He was in.
That guy kept up with us, which is impressive. The game did not take very long to become a hate crime. But here's the thing. We covered all of the R's in this particular one. We covered racism.
Yep.
We covered what was the other ones, guys?
Rapiness,
that's right.
Oh my gosh.
And retarded. And once we got to all of the R's, we realized that it was no longer a hate crime because we hate everybody. At some point it stops being a hate crime, it just starts being
just
bigots.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. I did it. You're gonna have to.
And that Mario jump you heard, you just get to imagine what it actually was.
I referenced a rectum very crudely,
but in realizing that we hated everyone,
we bonded
true equality.
We bonded.
Oh my gosh.
Everyone is equal because we hate them.
Lance and I were able to confirm our friendship, finally, after knowing each other momentarily.
To kind of put some like bookends on this, the characters we're playing are 1970s, late 70s superheroes who are being followed around by a camera crew as if it were a reality show. but to create a Saturday morning cartoon show with special alien technology that eliminates all the adult-oriented stuff. So whatever these characters may have been doing was never shown on TV, and that's as a matter of fact, there's no real record of it.
So every episode is really 15 minutes long.
That's the credits.
That's the credits.
So here's the reality. Everything you just heard from Adam has been stricken from record.
So everything that I just said didn't actually happen. Well, it doesn't help that the character I was given had an ability on there that I can't even say on this podcast.
Wow.
But it was inspired by Adam.
To be fair, it was inspired by me. When he was first playtesting the game, he had to be the character in the first place. And this ability was not on there. And the way I played the character, I kept saying this one phrase that eventually became the ability that was on the character sheet. And I don't even feel bad because it was pretty freaking awesome.
The summarization of the ability was, if he rolls two successes, whatever he wants happens, because screw physics.
Only replace screw with the F-bomb.
Correct.
There you go.
That's what the sheet said. So, it was good times.
What was the name of the actual game?
Groovin' and Shakin'.
Groovin' and Shakin'.
What was the tagline to the game?
They're in black again.
At some point, it became a blaxploitation film. We're not.
Oh my gosh.
100% sure when that happened.
The reason why is because in all
I actually
that Don
I actually read my character sheet. No one else had ever read their character
sheet.
Like
an hour and a half into the game,
I was the boy
genius. His demeanor completely changes.
Yes, I was the boy genius, which I started out with a really silly, you know, hi guys, what's going on? I love playing the boy genius. And then I looked down at the character traits, and it says he's an African-American teenager. And I went, African-American teenager.
In the
70s. Wow. This is going to be really bad. So if you can imagine any Richard Pryor movie, that's pretty much what I did.
I'd even go a shade further than that and say Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. I mean, it was on par with that. So it was fun.
In love. In love.
I'm glad.
It was fun.
And we all had a lot of energy because it was still early in the
day. Oh, yeah. It was Thursday.
There you go.
Boy,
exhaustion hadn't kicked in yet.
And that was your favorite moment?
That was
my favorite gaming moment.
Okay,
game
good.
Experience.
That was
Avital, please give us some wholesome something.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Watch yourself. Oh, this werewolf eating party.
we hardly ate anybody.
I didn't say yes.
Well, my favorite gaming moment.
I was there too.
Yeah, you went there. Well, I play in a werewolf LARP. It is based in Indianapolis, but they always hold a Gen Con event too, but I still get to play my character that I normally play. And I'm in a pack with some of my friends, and there's three of us there in one pack, and just honestly, like, during the battle, like, there was a lot of people in this one battle, and
it got stupid quick.
We were all like, we were just working together so well as a pack. Like, I play the sort of bardic character, so like, I have this ability that lets everyone in my pack work on our highest initiative, and our fighter has a skill that lets her go very, very, very first. So, like,
can I explain this from a GM standpoint, please?
Sure.
Okay. So, what she winds up happening? So, these two characters, these big badass werewolves, and she's not a non badass werewolf because all werewolves are badass. Yeah, that's right. Deal with it.
Adam, I love you.
Hold on. It's in the Bible. It's a donkey.
It's true. They're all donkies.
So what winds up happening is that she's back there, and these two werewolves are leading this charge against all these terrible, terrifying were rats, and she's back there, and she's calling down, like, powers from the spirit world and bolstering their strength, and they're one-shotting these monsters that are terrible.
Hitting them at the same time. They're like
combo-punching these things with powers divined by Avital's character. Just at the beginning of the round, and they'd hit him like four or five times.
And then the rage actions.
And then rage actions at the end, they'd be killed. So, like,
at
one round
time.
Would go by, and six rats would be dead. And it was amazing.
It was lovely.
It was
so happy.
I was like, yes.
Only at Gen Con can you use lovely with what you just said. I love that.
But, like, killing rats.
There are a lot of packs.
Were rats.
But, like,
were rats.
We were the most number of people in a pack that were, like, fighting in the same specific
scene, and I was just like, I did my job.
That particular intro was interesting because there were less werewolves than anything else.
Yeah, well, the point of that game was to give the people that had other non-werewolf characters a chance. You know, some people like the cats, the ravens, the coyote.
Yeah, that.
The one coyote?
Yes.
That was interesting.
He's an interesting character.
That might be a gaming story for another day.
But yeah. Oh, but also really fast. I play this app game on my phone called Marvel Puzzle Quest, which is like a match 3 game, but you get to like fight with Marvel characters. So it holds my attention more than just a normal Marvel puzzle game, but I really like it. And I actually ran into their booth, and I was like,
knocked it over.
Oh my gosh! Like I was talking to the guy.
All these things are annoying.
I was like, I played this game. He's like, oh yeah, and I'm assuming he's one of the guys that has worked on the game. And I was like talking. I was really excited about the game. And I was like, yeah, I really like this game. And it's like, it's able to draw my attention more than this. And then he's like, oh my gosh, he's like, that is so great to hear. Like, thank you so much. Like. And I was just being enthusiastic about this app that
what,
I like.
Avital being enthusiastic?
I don't know. What is this nonsense
You're so just laid back and laconic all the time.
Yeah.
And just like, it looked like kind of like, he just looked so happy like to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I already played it and I really liked it. And so.
He's probably glad not to get a bunch of complaints. He's probably glad
and,
to hear something.
You know,
good.
I got one of my friends addicted to it. So.
Lance.
What you got, Lance?
Josh took my number one. Or actually, Adam took my number one. Josh took my number two. So, my number three gaming moment was I was in search of a little background. My daughter is 6. I have been telling her
and she is adorable for the record.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's only half my fault.
And she rolls really well. Is that half your fault too?
No, that's divine.
Okay, got it.
But I've been telling her bedtime stories her whole life. And recently we've begun Choose Your Own Adventure bedtime stories. So I GM her bedtime story. This in preparation for getting her into fantasy RPGs. So I went to the Pathfinder booth to try to find a Pathfinder for kids game. And they said they didn't have anything. They tried to sell me the beginner box, but even that's too advanced for a 6-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
So I went around looking, and as someone pointed me in one direction, and then they pointed me to another direction to finally get me to a game for kids. So I'm gonna sponsor them for a second.
All right, Monty Cook Games presents.
Monty Cook Games has a game called No Thank You Evil, and it is the artwork
Monty Cook,
and everything for kids.
Yep.
It's a choose-your-own adventure type game where there's just 1d6 and you roll it.
The fiery tricycle.
Sure.
Oh.
And the basic stats of it are you are a name and you get to pick your name. Most kids will pick their own name. And then I am A and you get to pick a job. And you can pick one of the jobs that they have or you can come up with your own. So you can be, my name is Princess and I am a pirate. Mm-hmm. And my best friend is my little brother. And so you can do things like that. And the powers that it gives you are kid limited. And the deluxe edition of the game has the board. It has dry erase character sheets, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Good thinking.
Its own dice. Whole bunch of stuff.
Awesome.
But finding a game that I can now transition my bedtime stories into actual role-playing game moments that will lead into more more detailed gaming moments with my kid, bringing her into the hobby.
Yes.
So my number three moment was I found a game for my kid.
That's awesome.
That's absolutely awesome.
That's very cool.
That's raising up the next generation of gamers.
That's
it's a very
right.
important
and
thing.
And it's a game moment because I demoed it.
There you go. Perfect.
Derek.
All right, Derek. Ease up.
Okay, so they talked about the first of two sessions I ran for USS. We bring hate crimes to you.
That should not be your tagline.
No, it really shouldn't.
Throw that out there.
Go ahead and get rid of that one there, bud.
Yeah.
Remember, kids.
Darnhurst.
We post fires.
We love everyone. Please don't sue us. Okay.
Yes. The second session that I ran of game on Saturday night, I had six people originally sign up, and then three backed out. And then, so it was a couple, an older couple, and some third person. That third person could only stay till 8 that night, so only for an hour, but he still wanted to see what the game was like. So I ran part of the scenario for them and showed them what how the mechanics work. By the end of that, the couple bought a book and a and their deck of cards each, and the third guy bought a the rule book and a deck of cards, and they all really looked like they were having a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
That's really cool.
Ooh, whoop, whoop.
Yes.
Awesome. So even with only three showing up, it can be a good experience.
Yes.
Showing up for an hour.
Yeah. Yes. And it was still a good experience.
Yes, it was.
So that's...
Yay, commercialism.
So nice to hear.
Dan,
I'm not
what you got?
I'm a whore, but...
Okay, Mikey Mason.
Every single profane word.
That's not bad. It's in the Bible too.
I'm just watching. I'm just watching Josh. Just the vein in his head drop.
You mean about that twitch he's got?
By the way, Mikey Mason has CDs.
He's got CDs. Nice.
Not a gaming moment.
That was awesome. There you go, Mikey.
There you are, Mikey. Hey, he mentioned our name at his concert.
He did.
His only
and year. Not my podcast.
I was waiting for him to say words something about side project.
He wrote our theme song for guys.
Us too. He wrote ours too.
So I'm just anyway. Yeah.
Everything that's special about your podcast, we stole it.
Including
you.
Fair point. No, I can't argue with that.
All right, what you got, Dan?
All right. Well, I have to be the bad guy because I had two really good gaming moments.
Of course you
sorry.
Did.
I have to share.
Absolutely.
I can't pick one over the other because I really had a blast. Getting to demo games was one of the big things I wanted to do this year. And I was very selective when I walked through the hall the first time, trying to pick out games that would be of interest. And I have some really strange interests in games, and especially like themes. But I found two that were absolutely awesome, that really spoke to me. The first one that I demoed was called Era of the Ninja. It's by Mystical Eras of War. They were super, super cool people at the booth. They had a 10-minute demo, and then they were doing free games in the gaming hall that you could go and play. I did the 10-minute demo, and I was already ready to buy the game. It was that exciting. When they handed me the box, I thought I would have a hernia. It's a large-sized box, but it weighs like 8 pounds. And the stuff that's in it, they did not change. It is amazing. All the pieces are really cool. It's really sharp. Later on that day, I also discovered, and I actually don't remember the company. The game was called Secrets of the Lost Tomb. And I was kind of leery at first, and one of their guys that was doing the demo, and then I met the owner. I did the demo, and it was kind of an interesting I was a little nervous at first because I was thinking, oh, this is going to be like something else. Actually, again, about 10 minutes into the game, I decided, okay, this is so cool. Think Indiana Jones meets noir. It was amazing. The mechanics and everything of the game worked really well. They have different scenarios. They're getting ready to redo the game and re-release it. But I'm telling you, it was absolutely worth it. Derek and I picked up copies today. But those were both... Of all the games that I demoed, those were the best ones I played this weekend. I loved them all. They were awesome.
Played, but then we have one more, which we have to show.
Yeah.
AKA Games, which is part of, well, I shouldn't say it's part of Cubicle 7, but...
they sell their games through Cubicle 7.
Right. Cubicle 7 does the translations because they're a French company.
Okay.
And they write RPG systems and settings. They have settings called like Yggdrasil, So it's a Viking RPG.
Qian, which is a Chinese RPG.
They've got a follow-up to Ingersoll, which is the Arthur. But the one that we both caught our eye was...
Oh, they're kickstarting in September.
Mm-hmm. Shio.
It's mm-hmm. a Japanese.
Yes. Post-apocalyptic.
Post-apocalyptic. It's Japan after an apocalypse RPG, but it's the Japanese people return to their tradition, their old ways, and trying to live and then bring some of the technology back in.
Huh. I was wondering how those two things went together.
When
they were telling me, I was like, okay, this is kind of not making sense. And once they explained it to me and showed me what they were doing, and they have the original, the game has already been published in French.
But they're translating it to English.
It in this country, and it is amazing.
The artwork is gorgeous.
We met the artist, two of the writers, and the original creator of the game. They were all in the booth.
Sweet.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
There's a lot of interesting things coming out of Europe right now for RPGs. So,
Brexit, the RPG.
Yes, Brexit.
So right, that was mine. Sorry,
that's okay.
Just that's cool.
Shout out, but it was really awesome this weekend.
Brian, what you got?
I would have to say that one of my favorite gaming experiences was I played in a LARP that was based off of the television series
The Dresden Files.
The TV series, not the books.
Maybe the books too. I haven't read them.
What? And I'm only asking. I'm not being a jerk. Actually, I'm asking because they're actually very different things. Like the world that they created in the show is very different than the world that comes out of the books.
They have a tabletop version too, but the tabletop. I mean, the LARP is based off of the tabletop.
Okay, so if it's the Evil Hat Games tabletop, then it's the books.
Then there you go.
Because it's based off of the books. Fate game, isn't it?
I'm sorry, I just had to clarify.
No, it's cool. So
that's like the Game of Thrones TV show versus the Game of Thrones books, because they're similar, but...
The first couple of seasons follow the books.
But I'm saying, yeah, like the world is different if you were basing like an RPG off of what's going on in one versus the other.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Anyway, continue.
All right, so anyways, I was playing a character that they had made called Simon Lung. He's a Chinese man who does magic. He does lightning magic, and he is the only one that doesn't actually hex magic when he does his magic. And so...
Hex technology when he does his magic?
He hex the hex technology. Typically, when you do magic in Dresden Files, you hex technology. But he essentially could hack technology. And... he basically was part of a family. There were his two brothers, his father, and his twin sister, all in this LARP. So all five of us are just sitting there hanging out, and we had this thing called basically family comes first. And so, you know, we would all split apart, but it really became pretty easy for me to dive into that particular LARP because I already had for the people who were there the night before and that I could fall back on. So I had fun with that.
Very cool. I would have to say like Dan, I've got two of these. My favorite game moments for the weekend were both tournaments that I played in. I had a lot of fun playing in True Dungeon and my Pathfinder games and things like that, but Saturday night at Gen Con, I played in a Red Dragon Inn doppelganger tournament and actually won in the first round. I lost in the second round, but it was so much fun. I had a really great time with it, and as I told the guys, it's the most fun I had losing in a game because I just love Red Dragon Inn, and it's just that kind of a game where even if you lose, it's so lighthearted that you're still having a really good time with it. And then the second one was, I guess it was sort of a demo slash, the way they coined it was demo slash tournament, was the game that Bonnie was talking about earlier, that for some reason I just refuge. Gosh, I don't know. I just had a race brain fart. Right, the race for survival.
It's not that it's
I played a demo round. I played a demo round with Aaron, who was our GM, very nice guy from here in Indiana, and then we played the tournament round, and I actually won the tournament round, which means I won a $50 Amazon gift card from their company, which was really, really awesome, and I had
so
such
generous.
A good time. Yeah.
Considering it was $2 to play in the
Yeah, it was a $2 game, and yeah, I ended up walking away with a $50 Amazon gift card, which means, you know, I might be able to actually purchase that game on Amazon. Yes, Katie?
When you're done, I want to amend my statement about my best gaming experience. It's still the drought thing, but I have more to add that I forgot until you just said something.
Not a problem. And I don't typically play in a lot of tournament-style games. I enjoy them, but I have not always had the best experience with playing in tournaments. I played Magic the Gathering for a long time, and that's kind of a, you know, dark point in my life when it comes to tournament play.
Good luck.
And a few of the other tournaments that I've played in, I just haven't done as well as I'd liked. But these two games just happened to be right, you know, in my niche of gaming, and I had a really great time playing in both of those games. So I would say for me, my gaming experience came down to being able to, you know, have a lot of fun. I had, like I said, I played tons of games that were great, but being able to play those two games, and now that I think about it, the other tournament game that I played that I had a really good time with because I got to play with my 7-year-old son was the King of Tokyo tournament that we played on Thursday.
I was so proud of him.
I forgot that we'd played that until just now talking about that, but He didn't want to leave Tokyo, man. He stuck it out. He stuck it out in Tokyo and died first.
And died in Tokyo.
Along with the other kid. I played at a table with three kids that were probably under the age of 8. And then two of the kids' parents were there, and then I was there. So it was a family of 4.
Pretty evenly matched.
Yeah, it was a family of 4, and then myself and my 7-year-old son, Joe. And I sat at that table specifically because it was the only table they had kids at it.
Right.
And I was like, okay, the temperament of this table is going to be completely different than the one next to me that's got 4 guys sitting at it. That's going to be a completely different game of King of Tokyo.
Okay, so right now you sound like an adult who likes beating up on children.
No, they beat me. Actually, the youngest kid at the table won that game.
Oh, good for
yeah.
Him.
She killed her parents. She killed me. She did.
In game.
Obviously, okay. In game.
Children are ruthless.
This commentary brought to you by the Ghost of Dawn.
Yeah. So, yes.
I asked Joey about that, too. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's okay.
It's just funny because I was like, why didn't you want to leave Tokyo? And he said, because I was the King of Tokyo.
Yeah. he really loves that game.
There's only one way to depose a king.
That's right.
Boom. Take him out. So, regicide. That's Japanese regicide. That's what that game should be called. Anyway, so yeah, I'd have to say my tournament games. I'm gonna sum it all up and say my tournament games were my favorite gaming experience.
You just picked a genre of games.
Everything
that I did,
dang
it, involved dice or thinking
or pencils. Other players talking. Katie, you said you had to add something.
Yeah, I want to add that on Saturday, since Mike and I do Drow, we try to keep our day open during the day, like to browse the convention hall. Normally people want to stop us for pictures, so it's kind of like a, you know, it's going to be slow going. We don't want to say we're going to get to a game because then it's going to be like 5 hours later and we've moved 10 feet. But we had games in the evening. We had 3 of them. Well, I had 3 scheduled. My brother and I went to all 3. Mike and Kayla were only scheduled for 2. We get to the first game, and we sit down at the table, and Kayla realizes that she has left their tickets in the car. And I realize that my tickets are at home.
Wow.
So, well, I thought they were at home. I told Kayla, I said, please check in the car. I said, maybe when we went to Culver's, they fell out of my wallet. She calls me, hey, they're not in the car. So I let the lady know at the table. I was like, listen, I'm not going to play this game. I said, I don't have my tickets. You know, they're home. She came over. She's like, well, I didn't hear everything you said. What'd you say? And I told her, she goes, well, play. Or just play. Like, you can bring them tomorrow. Just come to our booth.
Wow.
I'd rather have you play the game and get to do it. And so I got to play this game called Worst Game Ever, which is great. It's
I've so it doesn't live up to its advertising.
Right, exactly.
It's really the worst title for the game.
It's the worst title ever.
Yeah.
What it, is.
Like it was one of those games that's really simple in mechanics, but a lot of fun, kind of right. like... I've lost the name of the zombie game now. The race
refuge.
Refuge.
I didn't play the game this week, and I remember the name.
But yeah, so it was that, and so then after that, we were going to Tyrants of the Underdark, and I told Mike and Kayla, I said, "All right, I'm just going to go get generics." I said, "Because I want to play this game so bad." I get in line at the HQ to buy some generics, and this guy next to me goes, "Oh, you need generics? How many do you need?" I was like, "Well, three." He goes, "Here, you can just have some of these." He goes, "I need to get a picture of you." And I was like, "You can, like, I don't, you don't need to give me generics for the picture." So this guy gave me three generics. And then when we got to Tyrants, they said, "Oh, yeah, just bring your tickets to our booth tomorrow to Gale Force 9 headquarters." So I ended up getting three generics from this guy. Gale Force 9 let me bring my tickets in today. And then the game that Garrett and I played from 11 to 1, the demo of Weird Games Darkness Comes Rattling, they let us bring them today too, because we were playing another weird game this morning. So it was that tied into my gaming experience, was the fact that I got to do this thing I wanted to do so badly, even though I had totally spaced it and left all my tickets for the day at home. It was awesome. It was
so the moral of the story, kids, is to dress up as drow and you get free games.
Yeah, right.
Be pretty, people give you stuff. I think we all knew that from high school.
It was just really nice to have like nice people nice things. Right. Like this was like a Gen Con full of people like doing really awesome things. Like Mike lost his backpack and someone found it and left a note where he had left it and said, "Hey, we found your backpack. We took it to customer service. Have a great con, stranger." And I was like, "That's awesome!" Like. That, you know, somebody would leave a note and not just be like, "Oh, I guess I'll turn this in somewhere." Like, it's really cool.
So apparently Gen Con was, like, hit by the love bug.
That's okay.
That's a good thing. It's a good thing.
That's because Mike Pence is running for VP. So he's going to be gone after this year.
Everybody's ecstatic. That's...
Yes.
Comparing to last year's atmosphere,
the flying cupcake had a Mike Pence cupcake today.
I don't.
It was hashtag Mike Pence, and it was a nice, pretty, funfetti rainbow sprinkle vanilla cupcake with vanilla buttercream and rainbow sprinkles on top.
Why do we?
I thought you were going to say they sell you a cupcake and then they throw it up
the ground.
You want this cupcake?
No, that's
apolitical.
And by saying that,
because of the president,
I didn't tell you who I.
There you go.
Anyway,
yeah, see, we've
I redeemed it.
That's right. Okay. So anyway,
the paying price goes to the city. Why vote for the lesser of two evils?
Vote for the evilest of evils.
Yeah. That's right,
all the way.
Cthulhu. So,
Lord Soth.
Well,
hey, Lord Soth.
Okay, so last year's question.
I know we had four parts to this, but we're 50 minutes.
At the first part.
Oh, okay.
It's Gen Con review.
It's Gen Con review, and we are gamers, we tell gamers. I do got stuff to do.
Yeah, right.
All right.
Well, then
why don't we just...
I'll take it half.
Why don't we just elevate our game, and we will just discuss really quickly as possible.
That's fair.
As possible.
Our favorite Gen Con moment.
Okay, favorite Gen Con moment ever. I'm going to have to put this down very simply, the best I can, with Le Boom!
You know, every time I hear you say that, I think you're saying boob.
Oh, I'm not really meaning
Brandy
to.
Brandy will be better.
I promise. I don't. It's.
I mean, I agree.
If you see the game,
I'm a huge fan of boobs.
That's fair. You see the game, you would actually not be too far off.
Just, it does have a little like tip
fuse.
On the top.
It does have a little tip on the top.
But it doesn't actually have a string. So it's just a little hole. It's weird.
Wait, is the bomb fuse a different color than the rest of the bomb?
No, there's no fuse.
There's actually no physical fuse.
It's strange. But with that being said, we just finished the Red Dragon Inn tournament where Bonnie ate. Carrie and I. Well,
yes.
Bonnie and I did not fare well. Carrie did relatively well, but was knocked out last
right.
before she moved on.
Dawn made it to the second round, so we're waiting for Dawn to get done.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Bonnie had this $5 game from Mayfair Games called Le Boom, LBOOM. And the premise is a die roller, a six-sided die with two sides was a bomb. two sides was a fuse, and two sides was an explosion.
I would just like to say that two sides were a bomb, two sides were
they still are.
A fuse.
They still exist.
Still
the guy doesn't
but I
exist.
Said two sides
he
was.
He says two sides yeah. was.
Oh.
Thank
oh.
you.
Ain't been there much long.
Ain't been there much long. Fine, two sides were. Two sides were that, two sides were this, two sides were shut up.
You know what? I'm going to design a game now where two sides of the dice, it's going to be a dice roller, and two sides is going to say, shut up, Josh. I'm going to call my game, shut up, Josh.
Well, the, you know what? The irony of that, the irony is I think it would be just as much fun as Lip-Oom! Because everyone at the table would either be going, Lip-Oom! Or shut up, Josh! And they would get just as much. We were just having so much fun with it. We played it two or three different times. Actually, I think it was three times because the third time you guys were bound and determined to defeat me.
That's
oh,
correct.
Yes, oh. Because there's a thing in the Demery household that I will let Deborah explain.
Oh, indeed. I'm
it
sorry.
Is a thing.
It is a thing. Can you... Or, I don't want to interrupt
oh, that's,
you,
so, yeah, I just... We were laughing just hysterically, and I'm sure that the people in the Red Dragon Inn were just, what is going on
yes.
over there?
Oh, I'm sure.
We just had way too much fun, and I don't think I'm ever going to forget that. I know that Bonnie owns the game, but it will eventually be in our home, because... Li-boom!
And it was perfect, because Bonnie and I are trying to say stuff in French. Well, we were
but
saying
we
it in Spanish.
We knew Spanish. We just said them with a French
with
accent.
With a French accent. So we're saying, you know... To boom, and they were like, wait, no, that's the wrong language. Hold no. on. And so that's just even funnier. So it was that punch, drunk, tired, funny moment. Mm-hmm.
And then Josh and I with the glares.
And oh, yes.
We're just glaring at each other and
at the same moment. And Carrie about lost it. It was just so, oh my goodness.
The timing couldn't have been more perfect.
No, it was beautiful. It really was. It was a thing of beauty.
So what is your problem with me and the World's Fair? Yes.
Exactly. Let's discuss the World's Fair. A wonderful
quickly.
Game, by
quickly.
The way.
Quickly.
World's Fair is a fantastic game. I love the game. Bravo. My husband has won it every single time I've played the game. I am literally, I'm 0 for 5 or 6. My husband is 5 for 5 or 5 or 6 for 6. I've lost track. He's also...
That's true. I haven't lost yet.
He has never lost. He is 100%
to anybody.
To anybody. To any... No one can beat him at this game yet. And I am now like, okay, I don't accept.
At least she's optimistic and says yet.
Yes. Oh, I know.
I stopped saying that a long time ago when it came to Monopoly.
I'm holding out hope
Catan.
That someone will beat him in this game. Wow.
That's good for you.
Yeah,
that,
accepted that. I just stopped playing Monopoly.
My brother just stopped playing them altogether. Yeah.
Anywho. Funny, but we haven't had a chance.
Anywho.
So my favorite Gen Con moment was not the World's Fair. And Li-Boom is funny, but not quite there. So the Pathfinder special that Josh, it wasn't the special.
No, it was.
It was special
good
to
reasons.
Us.
Good reasons.
It's special in your heart.
It is very special in my heart.
16-2,
okay,
Lost Colony of Tal'Dor.
There you go. 16? 17.
I'm sorry, 716. My apologies.
16.
Part
my husband's
two.
Making up numbers now. This is not good.
42.
Right. In that game, there was one great moment. We were in the final boss battle with the final villain, and the dwarf has taken a flying leap off the balcony and landed flat on his face.
Yep.
The psychic has Mage Hand a bag to grab the bird because the bird is magical. She couldn't grab that. So he gets the bird in the bag. Sure. The cleric has done create water, so now that villain is now very moist, as Adam has said.
Indeed.
The sorcerer is setting somebody else on fire, because if you have water, you have to have fire. The monk is then ranging, not raging, he wasn't a barbarian, it was ranging archer thing. And Don's character was bull rushing up the stairs, but then in the process he is hiring one of our enemies to work for the Pathfinder Society.
Not an enemy.
Well,
he's now an associate.
He's now our associate.
All enemies are potential friends.
That's right.
For your day job, you can say Pathfinder Recruiter.
That's right.
That is
Pathfinder
so perfect.
Recruiter.
I just realized that in all three of these parts of the game, though it was played by different people, with Mike on the first and third part and Vanessa on the second part,
mm-hmm.
we had our sixth player was a kineticist.
No, she was a psychic.
She was a psychic.
She might have been a psychic, but everything she did
was
connect. It was
yeah.
It was strange.
That was strange.
Just hit me.
Just the point that I want to make about that, the part of what made that moment beautiful was the fact that everybody got to play their character, were role-playing in addition to being in combat. It was just a beautiful thing, and I really think that moment kind of embodied what that whole, really what this whole thing is about, like why
right.
do we do this.
Yeah.
And I will say this, I've had some bad experiences with Pathfinder Society, one of them happened at this con, but in the future going forward, I think I will not play Society again unless I have friends at the table, straight up.
I can agree with that.
Like the entire, table to be friends?
Ideally, like, but you know, I'm okay with two or three people, so there's some measure of solidarity.
It just makes the game. Well, and our GM, Sam, said it best, in my opinion, today, was that he could tell that we had all played together long enough that we could play off of each other. Like, we were, you know, we were, for lack of a better example, we were the X-Men. You know, we could do this, you know, speedball.
Right.
Fastball special.
Yeah, fastball special and things like that. Like, we could play off of each other really well.
Except for me, I'm just that good.
That's
part of the thing I want people to do on Facebook. What is we did skip over the least favorite game and what to do better for this next con. Make it a point. Go online and tell us about all of these things. Your favorite game moment, your least favorite game moment, what to do better next year, and your favorite overall moment for Gen Con. We want to know the same stuff that we're telling you about.
Lane dividers.
yeah.
Bonnie, favorite moment.
So as I said, I have an issue with planning my Gen Con ahead of time because I just get stressed out with long-term planning. I don't like to be, you know, don't put baby in a corner or whatever.
Unless it's your baby.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't you tell me what
don't
to
put,
do.
Don't put Bonnie in a corner.
So this year, just somehow, everything worked out. Everything I wanted to do, I got to play. Nothing was too expensive. You know, sometimes, you know, I get to the con and it's not unusual for me to not get to do everything I want to do because maybe the game sold out because people who planned ahead beat me to it. Maybe I can't play the game because it was more expensive than I thought and I didn't bring enough money or whatever. And it just seemed like that didn't happen this year. Like, I don't know if I'll ever have a Gen Con that ran this smoothly for me, and even with three kids. And that's saying something.
Yes, it is.
I mean, granted, I only had the other two boys the first day, but even the baby was great the whole time, you know, slept when I wanted him to sleep and ate in between the games, and, you know, I mean, it's just
Sammy.
Good job, Sammy.
Good,
you know,
team
today,
player.
Today was the toughest day for him, but it was also a day that the only thing I did today was go to the playtesting room.
Right.
And even that was like, I got to playtest the expansion to the game that I played earlier this week, so I had an investment in wanting to play the game and figure it out and talk to the developer, and it just... This Gen Con was overall, I mean, I guess, I don't even know if that counts as, like, a greatest experience, but just the fact that, like, everything seemed to work out for me.
When it flows smooth, it's phenomenal.
There was definitely set things that disappointed me, you know, games I didn't do well in or whatever, but...
We're dragging it. I'm with you there.
It was just one of those
That'll
fluke things, like, I'll tell you about it, but it was just a fluke, awful game. Anyways... That's it for me. It was awesome.
Princess.
Okay. I guess my favorite overall Gen Con moment experience, I don't know, like, it's probably the exact opposite of Bonnie's, is the fact that I have been planning my Gen Con for literal months. Since the events came out in May, I have been scheduling things and, like, you know, filling my Google Calendar and mapping things out, and I had a bunch of stuff on my calendar that I wanted to do, that I thought about doing, not everything I had bought tickets for, but I did a total of, not including, I don't think this includes Wednesday, I did like 15 events this Gen Con.
Girl!
I think, and well, I actually played a game on Wednesday night this Gen Con, that was a lot of fun. I actually found a game for Mike that he, like, fell in love with and did another impromptu session of with Deb and her brothers over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
But no, it was the fact that I planned out this entire Gen Con. I had, like, everything on my calendar. I had, you know, tickets for everything when I remembered to bring them with me.
Helpful.
And I only missed two events, one of which I need to learn better and not plan anything for Sunday morning that's before 10. I'm optimistic. Months before Gen Con, yeah, I can do this. I'm gonna, and then, you know, like, after 3 days of 3 hours of sleep, but I'm like, oh my god, I'm so tired. I set my alarm for 6:30 this morning and legitimately snoozed it until 8:10. So,
that snooze.
But yeah, there's the fact that I planned this entire Gen Con and everything just went, like Bonnie said, everything just went so Well, I had the exception of one game that was a drinking game that turned out we didn't like very much, but everything just went so well. I got everywhere.
Because it gets in the way of the drinking.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I got everywhere. I had that issue with no tickets, and everything worked out. Like, I got to see a bunch of stuff, and it was just a great overall, just the fact that my planning all fell into place and that everything worked out that way for me, I think would be probably my favorite Gen Con moment, if you will. Moments Collective. Gen Con Collective. I don't know.
Resistance is futile. Avital.
All right. Well, I do enjoy playing, you know, whatever games that I do play, like a lot of spending time with friends and people that I don't necessarily get to see as often. Like Thursday, I accidentally ran into so many people of my friends that I only see at conventions. It was great. But I think probably like my favorite moment was just two of my friends put together cosplays for the first time this year, and they put together these really amazing post-apocalyptic.
Oh, Robert.
Robert and Stephanie, yeah.
Yeah, and Stephanie.
Awesome. I will share the pictures on our Facebook page of their costumes that I took, because they're really awesome.
Yeah, they were really good.
And we actually ended up walking in the costume parade, which I hadn't ever done before, but just like getting to be there with them in their first cosplay experience on this, they really put so much into it. And like, we walk in the door in the morning and we're there like 30 seconds and somebody's already like, hey, can I take your guys' picture? Just like,
it feels good. I've been there.
Getting to experience that joy with them and for them was honestly one pretty much like the best thing.
That's cool.
Speaking of pictures, have you guys met or encountered photobombing Deadpool?
Yes.
Yes. He made a lot of people really mad in the cosplaying section. We went over there Saturday. Some guy stopped us in the middle of the hall and was like, can I get your picture? And we're like, how about we move out of the middle of the hall and into this specially designated cosplaying area? Mm-hmm. And he was photobombing every single picture that people were taking. And you could see people that were taking pictures getting mad. Like, they were getting angry that he was doing it. Yeah. He was making a lot of photographers pretty angry. But yes, I have seen him firsthand.
Okay. Well, in the few moments that I got to see him, he was hysterical. He was taking pictures with Disney princesses and saying, you know, like, we're brother and sister now because we all work for Disney. My favorite moment, and the reason I had you write, I wrote down surprise moments, were because they were all moments that weren't planned. So I'm just going to list a couple of them and move on quickly. Meeting up with someone we talked about at the podcast last year, again this year, Kelly, our cheerleader.
Yeah.
Kelly's back.
And she did a backflip for us.
She did a backflip for us because we asked her really nicely.
In a skirt. Yeah,
yes,
right?
And she did. She's like, okay, like, do one.
Kelly,
like,
come on, you got to do one. She's like, I'm in a skirt. I said, Kelly. She said, Okay.
And she did one for us.
It was a good day.
Yeah, it was. That was part of the Pathfinder Saturday night thing. That was just everything came together for that.
It was a confluence of events, man.
It was.
Getting to see my kid, and she got to role play again, and she now has a D20 necklace, a giant one, that she can unscrew and actually roll the giant D20.
Nice.
And like I said before, the buying of the game so that she can now role play, that's going to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. So little moments like that. But my favorite one is I went to a webcomic booth that I enjoy and bought just a small expansion to one of the games that I bought. The comic creator created a game and then does expansions, and I bought that. And a freebie that came with it is a little game called Dicks and Krakens. It's basically Chutes and Ladders with hit points and combat. So we call it combat Chutes and Ladders now. But my wife and I, Vanessa, went to the Spaghetti Factory for lunch one day. And I was like, while we're waiting, you want to play a game? She said, sure. You know, Gen Con, play games.
Right.
I just pulled it out of the bag and we started playing. And the wait staff went, what are you doing? We're playing a game. I got a Gen Con. can I play? So every time a plate of spaghetti would go past, one of the waiters would roll and move a piece. And the bus girl would come by, and she'd roll and move a piece.
Oh, that's and so much fun.
It happened so much that they were competing with each other. Vanessa and I stepped away again, and the wait staff were all playing as they came by.
That would be awesome.
Right?
That's just epic.
And at the end of our restaurant experience, I asked for a manager. Because I like to appreciate service.
Yes.
And I told her that was probably the best service I've ever had at a downtown restaurant. Didn't tell her why, because I didn't want to get anybody in trouble.
Right.
And I didn't want to kind of preempt anyone saying, I was waiting for my glass of water for 15 minutes because your waiter was over there rolling a die.
So I
wanted to get that out and right away.
Yeah.
Gave them all, good job of the month card.
Yeah, the cards they need.
Because I do like give a prize away thing with my random encounters. Gave each one of them a token for the true dungeon. Just bringing everybody to play a game and then watching them have the fun with it. That was my best Gen Con moment.
That's awesome. That is so awesome.
Brian,
what you got?
My Gen Con moment was probably on the first day of the... before the first game that I played was a Pathfinder Society game. I had lost my tickets on my way from the parking garage to the...
To the convention center.
And apparently somebody had picked them up and brought them into Lost and Found. It was like over $100 worth of
tickets.
People.
So,
wow. Shout out
the
to
Con of love.
Gen Con is nice people doing nice things.
Unless you go to the main fair booth at around 2.
I think
Gen Con
is nice people doing nice things except for the main fair booth.
At 2 p.m.
On a Sunday. Nice people, nice things. There are some terms and conditions may apply.
That's legit.
Hey, you don't tell me what to do. It's my job.
I love it.
I'll allow it.
Josh, you told me about that. Okay. You didn't tell me it was over $100 for the tickets.
Yeah. It was crazy. I was not happy.
Right. I bet you weren't.
But then were happy.
I'm literally... I just want you to know that I have a fact for the end of this episode. I'm literally running out of paper to write it.
That's not a fact, Don. That's a novel.
That's what the margins are for.
It's our first established paragraph.
Day one of Gen Con.
Speaking of...
Yeah, I'll write it in a minute.
Sure. What's your favorite moment there, Donnie?
So, I would have to say my favorite moment of Gen Con is probably my favorite moment for every Gen Con. And it's really just being able to spend time with people I don't get to see. Adam came down for the weekend, and it was amazing to be able to sit and play. We played, what did we play, four games together. All three of our Pathfinder games, the Derek's USS game on Thursday. So much fun being able to be there for Derek and Daniel on Friday night. Was awesome at the Mikey Mason concert, which was awesome.
Yeah.
What did he do? He was scheduled for an hour show. There was nobody scheduled after him, so he went an hour and a half or something like that.
Well, no, because he started early too. Because like,
oh, that's true. That's true. So
we were all there at like 8:30. Yes. So he started 9.
Right.
He starts. You know, he gets set up by 8:35
and just starts playing.
Yeah.
So that was awesome. But just and there were tons of booters here that we got a chance to hang out with. Our friend Mary Beth came and played with us on the USS game. I ran into my friend Sharon and her husband. What is her husband's name? I forget.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
Bob.
Oh.
Phil.
And her husband,
Reggie.
From Chicago. They came down and they were here for Gen Con. I haven't seen them in like probably 5 years. And of course, unfortunately, there's always friends that you really want to see that you don't get a chance to see.
Oh,
but I know that
Jeremy and Mary.
Yeah, Jeremy and Mary.
That's right. But in general, being able to spend my Gen Con with people that I really love, meeting new people and making new friends. We've got friends now that live in St. Louis that are not booters yet. They will be. Just so you know, if you're the boot, we are adding to your audience.
Yeah. Whether you want it or not.
That's right. Forcibly, if need be.
Darn it.
So we... So, yeah.
Just, like them.
That's right.
Like them or bring it on.
Just being, you know, if this year is the Gen Con of love, just being able to love on my friends and hang out with them and have new friends. Actually, the last game that we played, that Refuge game, I actually remembered it this time. The GMs for that game are from Indiana. They're just west of Indianapolis, and I legitimately think they could be, you know, people who come in and, I mean, they were willing to drive every day 30 minutes into town just to be at Gen Con to run games, and they, you know, they're fellow indie gamers, and so being able to see my friends, make new friends, game with my friends, and just have a really, really good time, and overall just really lift that experience for me. So, Adam.
Yes.
I think you're next.
Yes. So my favorite Gen Con moment overall, I am contractually obligated not to share.
Okay.
Because of a non-disclosure agreement that I wound up signing. But I can share a couple of moments that I did thoroughly enjoy. While they're individually not my favorite moments, collectively they are. I got to portray a character in a LARP who's in a werewolf LARP. You get a deed named. Basically, when you were going through your first change, something happened that gave you a name, and it's kind of like a Native American name, like Running Bear or something like that. But it's usually involving the deed that you did. And
Mudflap
could be one of them. collateral damage has been one.
I don't have one.
There's a collateral damage up by me. But my deed name was Shouts at Strangers. And
you didn't know anyone?
I didn't know a single person there except for Avital and her and Robert and Stephanie that I very briefly met. And
Shouts
I got to very much live up to that as people kept coming up to me as like, you've got a loud voice. Can you announce this, please? This happened like twice. And
he shouted on his own, other people were like, can you shout for me?
Yeah, well, there was a point where one of the characters, fully in character, he was playing a ratkin, fully in character, before I got up to do my bit, he plugs his ears. And I just thought, there's like, yeah, that's right, you plug your ears.
That's right.
Also, one of the other moments, I brought a friend down who this is his first Gen Con. Now, granted, I'm not a Gen Con veteran by any stretch of the imagination. This is my second. But, you know, I certainly kind of knew what to expect. And coming down and watching it through his eyes was a very special thing for me. You know, he's a lot younger than me. He was a kid that I kind of stole from my brother's friend group because I liked him better than I liked my brother. That's actually not true. My brother's a great guy. He just happens to live in New York City, and I don't get to see him. I just like to joke that's what I did.
There you go.
But seeing Gen Con through his eyes, you know, seeing all the, like, the when he walked into the dealer hall, he was literally, for the first time, he was literally struck speechless.
Oh. Like,
his eyes
so many games.
Widened, and he's just like, I wasn't sure if he was going to pass out or have a joygasm. It was just, or some combination of both.
Sure. It's like, geek. It's right here.
Just drops to the ground and starts twitching. So that was a blast. Seeing all the people that I don't get to see, but once or twice a year, you know, I was really looking forward to coming down and hanging out with Big Don and the Demeries and all y'all sitting
not,
at this
not
table
me,
right
apparently.
Now.
Y'all,
who are you again?
Yeah,
are you part of all y'all? I think so.
Yeah,
sometimes,
yeah.
You're most in y'all. Of the time.
Currently, you're part of y'all.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to go up and explain why my accent is suddenly Indiana.
The accent.
So I'm no longer using the long Minnesota O. I'm just saying y'all.
Y'all.
Sorry.
But I do have an announcement that I want to share, but that can happen at the end. So.
Okay. All right. And Derek, okay, Derek is first.
Okay, so in last year, I met a wonderful man named Daniel.
He's all right.
He and I have been going out since July. I took him to his first Gen Con last year. He was volunteering. And then things really roller coastered, and we hit it off really well. I decided that I wanted to propose to him at Gen Con. The original concept was that I was going to propose at a trading card
tournament.
Yeah.
And that fell through because they decided
they didn't run any tournaments.
Jerks.
And so
jerk
face. But then Mikey Mason said that he was going to do a concert Friday night.
Okay.
So this was after I had already planned running my two games Thursday and Friday night at 9 o'clock. So I contacted Gen Con and said, I'm going to be proposing at Mikey Mason at 9 o'clock. Can you please switch my game to 10?
Talk
to
about playing the heavy card. Friday. By the way, it only has everything to do with the rest of my life, Gen Con.
Exactly.
There's no pressure here, okay?
And they're like, happy to do it. So,
that's right, monkey's dance.
Mikey Mason and I planned how we were doing it. I got a hold of Lance and Vanessa to video it. I got a hold of a bunch of other of my friends and said, hey, this is happening at Mikey Mason, so you're going to be there.
By the way, best kept secret, a bunch of your friends kept.
I know. This was amazing.
He was floored.
Yes.
A lot of people just came. And
I am going to interject at one point. I was chatting with Mikey prior to all this happened, you know, after you let us know that it was going on, but prior to the actual Gen Con happening, I was talking to Mikey, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be there Friday night. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, because of Derek, you know, I was going to be there anyway, but because of Derek's thing, it's going to be better. And he's like, precisely how many people know about this? I'm like, probably everybody but the guy who's getting proposed.
And the people in the room that don't know us.
Right. So, never
mind. Mikey I won't do that
I,
to our show.
No, don't
songs.
Do that.
I chose Settle. Mikey's song, Settle.
I'll settle for you.
That's so awful.
Mike was talking about soulmates, and he called Dan and I up to the stage, and he started singing the Settle, and at the end of it, I got in one knee, and I proposed, and Dan said yes, so this is definitely, by far, the best Gen Con moment, period. End of statement.
You totally silenced the club, by the way. Like, the people who were around who were just sort of doing the whispering, talking about the sort of thing, and then all of a sudden, like, there's, like, this girl, one chick was just like, oh my gosh, like, they were totally, like,
and everyone.
Yeah, because it was funny and people were laughing, and then it was like they saw what you were doing, and then
it was
like,
it was like this little collective
the
gasp.
The woman behind me literally said, God, I hope he says yes, that would suck.
But, I mean, I'm surprised because a lot of people, when they see someone get down on their knees, are like, ooh, look at that. Quiet until the yes, and
right.
Then it just erupted.
Yeah, everyone was just like on their like
you guys,
edge of your
you guys
seat, like
standing. I mean, y'all were busy. You got a standing ovation.
I don't remember like parts of it. Like,
yeah, no,
my brain
yeah, well,
is like,
he blacked out. Shannon to pick him up off the floor.
I'm gonna warn you. Your wedding is gonna be exactly like that.
Yeah.
You're gonna black out like you know, 70% of it.
But mostly because of lack of food.
Amen.
People are gonna keep coming up to you and be like talking to you and trying to while you're like trying to
eat
clanking the thing. It's just no good, man.
That and the dress is gonna knock your wedding.
I might not recommend a corset.
However, if
you wear a corset, can I tie it?
Goodness gracious.
If you wear a corset, just practice wearing a corset before that day.
No.
Breathing is optional.
Wow, this is.
What
all
just
right, I don't know.
Dan, save us.
It's 101.
Well, Dan, what was your favorite Gen Con moment?
My best Gen Con moment was I bought a brand new pair of dice. Actually, having everybody there Friday night was amazing. I had inclinations that at some time he was wanting to do something, and we had been tossing jokes back and forth about how we were going to propose. We had this idea, we had joked one time that we were both going to go get mani pedis and just lay there, and then he was going to reach over and go, will you marry me? And so we've been having these ridiculous, you know, little things, just being silly. And he did tell me after the fact that he had considered proposing at the card tournament.
Oh, yeah.
And then he says, well, they canceled. I was like, oh, great. Well, things had, over the last month or so, things have gotten a little hectic for both of us personally. And I thought everything was on hold and we were going to wait a while because everything's just been so crazy, you know. Life.
It happens.
You know, then when Mikey pulls us up front, I'm like, oh my God, we're getting so, I'm going to be embarrassed because if I know I'm going to be in front of people, I'm great.
Okay.
I'll talk.
You're prepared.
But you pull me up front and I was really quiet. I was playing with my pockets.
Right.
And to be fair, yeah, there was a lot of people that you knew there, but there was a butt ton of people in that room. I had no idea who they were.
It was a room of 150 that got sold out.
Yeah.
I am super uncomfortable in large groups of people.
I had to convince him to go up, like push him out of his
seat. Yeah, like, would you go already?
Jeez. If you don't go, this doesn't happen.
This is going to work out.
So when he was singing this song, I was assuming that, you know, because he was making fun of us because we had said, you know, we were a couple. And
soulmates.
Then we go soulmates, and he goes, well, how long have you been together? And he goes, well, a year. And he's like, all right.
Uh-huh. So yeah, that's like,
okay, here we go. Uh-huh. You know? And I thought that was the joke. And I was having fun. I was nervous about being in front of everybody, but the minute he turns and dropped one knee, I lost it.
Yeah, you did.
I was bawling. I am not a super emotional person, but I just knew. The minute it hit, and I knew what he was doing, and then I just didn't. That was it.
I had to pry his hands away from his face. No!
Well, that's why we were all the adversity, like, he said yes. Okay, he said yes!
I mean, for a moment of, like, dramatic tension building, that was beautiful.
It was
man.
Perfect.
I mean, it's almost like you planned it.
Yeah, it was...
Well, can I add something? I just told you the story earlier.
Yes.
But, like, so we're sitting there, and from my view, I could see Daniel, like, perfectly. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't see Derek, because, like, heads in front of me. And then, like, Don's sitting next to me, but... And I didn't know, but he could see Derek perfectly, but he could not see Daniel at all.
No.
And so this is what I'm seeing, is I'm seeing Daniel get emotional and pause, like he's just really considering, you know, like an appropriate pause, not like a, oh God, is he going to say yes pause?
Right. It's an appropriate moment of...
It's appropriate if you know Daniel.
Yeah.
Well, I think anybody, though, can have a moment of, oh, this is the question, and that's happening right now, and now I have to answer. I think it was that amount of pause,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Not like a, what am I going to say?
Right.
Because I think if anybody has proposed and the other person doesn't know what they would say if the person proposed, then you're not in the same
you're
place.
You're not ready to propose. I asked my wife if she would say yes before I asked her to marry me. If I asked you to marry me, would you say yes?
Yeah. We prepped this.
And then 2 days later, because I made her wait.
No, would you say yes? Wait for it.
We're not there yet. Okay.
Hold that answer.
So he's obviously emotional. I can't help it. Like, I'm just, anything to do with weddings and everything, I'm like, oh, no, I'm crying. I look over at Don. He's got, you know, misty eyes, and we're just like, emotions.
All the feels.
We're talking about it afterwards, and I was like, gosh, I was just looking at Daniel. Did you see Daniel's face? And Don was like, no, all I could see was Derek. And I was like, really? So we had this, like, realization that we, even from both sides, like, it was such a special moment. I was so happy to be a part of it.
I'm just super happy for you guys.
Yeah, for sure. Really... Every one of us, we're so happy to be there for you in that moment.
Yeah. We, you know, that's something else. Talk about Gen Con love. Let me throw one more note in there. The lady that was in the crowd that we had no idea who she was, who came up front and literally brought her camera up and took a, what do you call it?
Video.
No. Polaroid. Instant picture.
Oh, yeah, Polaroid.
She gave that to us, told us congratulations. We walked back. There was another lady who also had recorded it and sent us the video.
Oh, that's cool.
Have what Lance and Vanessa got.
Right.
And they were ready, too. So all these people. And I ran into someone today from one of the gaming stores here locally. Mm-hmm. And they were telling us that, oh, we got a lot of new stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then they turn around and go, wait, you're the guys from the Mikey Mason. Oh, congrats!
So
that was
their list. So
now you're celebrity. You're famous.
You're Gen Con famous.
Yeah, you're Gen Con famous.
This is a whole different level. That's like... That's like,
hey, it's nice to be on the internet for something other than video you
should. Amen. There you go.
Disregard 97.
At this point,
this whole year.
At this point, I keep recording podcasts because I'm trying to add positive things to all the negative things that are about me on the internet.
Oh, I see.
We've got to balance out at some point.
Okay.
All
right.
We've got a boost, so we might be able to get around it.
There you go.
Donnie, wrap us up.
All right. Well, this has been episode 126, our post-Gen Con episode. Thank you so much for listening and sticking it out with us. I think we're close to about an hour and a half or so. And that's what
that's
you got a chance to hear.
Yeah.
Lucky you.
Yeah, you.
Lucky you,
Department of Redundancy Department.
Yeah.
And we're
a Merry, Merry Christmas and a Happy, Happy New Year.
That's right.
So, on our last episode... Episode 125, we established the Gen Con is the best 4 days of gaming, so make it the best you can for you. And I think I can honestly say that this year we definitely all did that.
Absolutely.
So for episode 126, I honestly think this may be our longest one yet.
Hold your breath.
The established
Don't hold
paragraph.
Your breath for the love.
You will pass out.
But take a deep breath.
All right.
If you're listening to
At the established facts, we love children.
True story.
The elderly.
True.
African Americans.
True.
Asian Americans.
Yep.
LGBT, because that was way too many words.
LGBT plus.
Plus, okay.
LGBTQ.
Democrats, Republicans, Mike Pence. Dancing monkeys.
True story.
And everyone else on Earth.
Huh?
This PSA, after I bite my tongue,
yes.
This PSA has been brought to you by the established facts. Some terms and conditions may apply. Hang on. Hang on. Shut up, Josh. Thank you so much for hanging out with us on episode 126. We hope that your Gen Con was just as good as ours.
Yes.
Please let us know.
Yeah.
Adam, come and check out, or go and check out the...
Go check out.
Oh, you have an announcement.
I'd love to go check out my own podcast.
Go check
Thank
out Adam as he checks
check
himself out.
I also have an announcement.
Yes, go ahead. Go for it. I forgot you said you had one, so go for it.
Yeah, jerk.
Well,
This has been a long time coming. I just decided to do it at this Gen Con, mainly because I've been talking to a lot of people about how to do it. Some of them I can't name drop, but I would be able to name drop if I hadn't signed an NDA. But I'm going to be writing my own campaign setting.
Awesome!
Nibs.
Body called dibs.
Body called dibs. It's been something that I have been literally writing about and thinking about since I was like 8.
Uh-huh.
Like
that's awesome.
No kidding, 8 years old.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's changed a lot since then because I'm now 35. It is something that I'm very excited about. It's something I'm very passionate about. I can't wait to get it done on paper. I'm going to be recruiting some help because I can't draw at all.
If you know
people who work for free, then,
I don't know that.
I don't know about free, but no. You could get a discount.
What I'm hoping, fingers crossed, to do is kickstart it.
Okay.
Okay.
And be able to pay people to do the things that I can't do.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's my announcement. Come check me out at sideprojectpodcast.com. Listen to our podcast, and I will keep updating on that noise on Side Project Podcast, bearing in mind that while The Established Facts is definitely a family-friendly show, Side Project is not.
You have been warned.
So you have been warned. That's right. Parental discretion.
Advice. It's
very much advice. Don't let small children around.
Some terms and conditions may apply.
Some terms and conditions may apply.
Shut up, Josh!
I'd say a lot more.
Thank you so much for listening to episode 126. We love you, and we will check you later.
Bye.
Shut up, Josh.
Yeah, boom. Bonus.
Please visit us at www.theestablishedfacts.com and our Facebook page, facebook.com/theestablishedfacts. If you'd like to support us by buying some merchandise, visit cafepress.com/castingrobot.
Bonus.